Last week, we talked about how God blesses us. But I want you to know that God doesn't bless you so that you can sit back and say, man, isn't it great to be blessed by God? God blesses you so that you can be a blessing. God blesses you to give to others, to bless others. We're looking at how you can bless others in specific today with the words that you use. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 11. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, it's lifted up. But by the mouth of the wicked, it's destroyed. So what it's saying is you have a choice. What you do with your mouth, what you do with your words, you can be a blessing. You can exalt and lift people up, or you can destroy. You can bless with your mouth, you can curse with your mouth. You can edify with your lips, you can pull people down with your lips. It's our choice. It's a choice that we have. God wants you to use your mouth as an instrument to bless people with. He wants you to use your mouth to lift people up. He doesn't force you. You get to choose. In Proverbs 18, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death. You understand how important that is? It's that way with our relationships at home, isn't it? Your tongue has a power of life and death. You can, with your tongue, speak life into your family. And you can have a home of joy and peace and happiness where people are edified and encouraged. Or you can speak death into your family and destroy people with simple words. By the way, anyone know how many words there are in the English language about? Any idea how many words there are in the English language? I read something along the figure of 800,000. 800,000 words, give or take a few. 800,000 words. How many do you know? Most people know a few thousand. Okay, maybe 5,000 to 10,000 words. So we know just a fraction of the words in the English language. What do you do with those words? What do you do with them? How do you put them together? Do you put them together to bless or to destroy? I want to give you a few points this morning on how we can be a blessing to other people. The first one is so simple, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. It's so basic that we ought to know it, but yet I still think we need to be reminded at times of some of these basics because I've seen them missing in Christians. I've seen them missing. Number one, you bless others when you show courtesy. So basic. But you know what? The Bible sometimes reminds us of these simple things. You read some of the epistles to the churches, some of the letters that were written to churches. And we see some of the basic things it reminds us to do. Be kind to each other. Don't pull down each other. Don't backbite. Speak good words to each other. Titus 3 verse 1. We're encouraged, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. Sounds pretty simple. To slander no one. Don't talk bad about people. To be peaceable and considerate. And to show true humility toward all men. These simple things, sometimes they get overlooked in our society today. And simple words of kindness, simple consideration, simple courtesy is often lacking. And it should not be lacking among Christians. It should not be lacking. Just being nice to people blesses people. Just simply being nice can be such a blessing. It can change someone's day. 1 Peter 2 says, show proper respect to everyone. Proper respect. I'm going to ask you a question and think in your mind, who is it that you're going to meet this week? Who are you going to run into? You're going to run into shop clerks. You're going to run into waitresses, perhaps, waiters, bosses, employees, people. It says treat everybody you meet with this kind of respect, with this simple courtesy. I can't tell you how many times I have been in restaurants with Christians, people who should know better, and the lack of respect and the discourteousness, if that's a word, of how they treated the waiters and waitresses was appalling. And it wasn't right. There was no courtesy there. It says to do this not with just those that you agree with or just the people that you like, but to do it with everybody. Everybody. Galatians 6:10. Do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Simple instruction. Are we doing it? Are we doing it enough? Are you showing this kind of courtesy? Are you a light of courtesy in a world dark with people who are just mean? Are you a light of courtesy? Steps for this week. Write down some steps. First of all, and I'm going to have you think of names this week. You can write them down, put them in your mind, I don't care. But think of a name that you can show greater courtesy to this week. Somebody at work, somebody you run into all the time, a name that you can show greater courtesy to. A second thing that we need to do is extend even more of this to those in the church family. I've said before that this place, this church, this building ought to be a place with an atmosphere of encouragement. When you come in here, this is the place where you have us to lift you up. This is the place where you should be able to come and you got people who are there to encourage you, to speak words of life to you. Ought to be even more so in these walls. Be a light outside of the walls, but show the same things even greater inside the walls. I want you to ask yourself, third, if everyone at IBC showed the courtesy like I show, what would our church look like? Would it be good? Or would it be, oh my goodness? If everyone at IBC was like me, don't think, well, I'm the exception. I can get away with it. Everyone else is nice. I don't have to be so nice. I can speak my mind, say whatever I want to say. If everyone was like you, what would this church be like? Hopefully you can say it'd be an awesome church. Number two is this. You bless others when you offer mercy. So you can bless others by simply showing courtesy. You bless others when you offer mercy. Because the truth is this. We all stumble. We all sin. We all blow it because we're all imperfect. Amen? Ladies, your husband's imperfect. Amen? Amen. Yes. When people around you make a mistake, whether it's at work, at school, at home, what do you do? That was stupid. Why did you do that? I can't believe you did that. 2 Corinthians 2, in instructions to the church of a man who had blown it, but then it started coming around, coming right again. The instruction says, now instead you ought to forgive and comfort him. Forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. This is the instruction to the church of show mercy to people who've blown it. The people who have sinned. Show mercy. Offer mercy. Mercy is an attitude of God. It's an attribute of His. Over 100 times in the Old Testament, it talks about God being merciful. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that God is rich in mercy. Our God is a merciful God. And He wants you to be like Him. He wants you to be more like Him every day, which means every day you increase in showing mercy to other people. Here's the problem. There's only one way to really learn mercy. And that's by being hurt yourself. Amen? That's the only way we learn mercy. by being hurt. Because if no one ever hurt you, if no one ever blown it with you, then there's never anybody for you to be able to forgive and to be able to show mercy to. And so God allows some pain in your life. He allows some hurt, allows some difficulties in your life because He wants you to be like Him. He wants you to learn to offer mercy to people. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus ever hurt by people? Was He ever mistreated by people? Was He ever misunderstood by people? Was He abused, taken for granted, betrayed, persecuted, killed? But notice His last words. Some of His last words while on the cross said, "Father, what? Forgive them." Did Jesus offer mercy to people who abused Him and did Him wrong? You bet He did. You bless others when you offer mercy. You're never going to have to forgive people more than God does. That's our motivation. God is merciful. He doesn't ask me to do more than what He does all the time. Colossians 3 verse 13. Forgive others as the Lord forgave you. You know what's my motivation for forgiveness? I'm forgiven. God forgave me. And so the Bible says this is not an option. As a Christian, I'm to forgive. I've been forgiven. I can't withhold forgiveness from other people. That's hypocritical. That's not right. Now, some of you have a problem perhaps with this idea of mercy. Because, first of all, mercy is not the same thing as overlooking sin. Do you understand? Mercy is not overlooking sin. God never overlooks sin. Do you know that? Sin always must be dealt with by God. So mercy is not the same as closing your eyes to what your kids are doing and saying, "Oh, I just have mercy on them. It's okay." Yes, they're sinning and they're going in the wrong direction, but you know, God showed me mercy, so I'm showing them mercy. That's overlooking sin. That's bad parenting. It's not the same thing. God deals with sin. All your sin was dealt with on the cross by God. God didn't just close His eyes and say, "Oh, well, I just won't look." He said, "No, I see that sin. I see your sin, and it's ugly, and it's bad, and it's horrible, and it's big. So I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to send Jesus to be the sacrifice, and I want you to trust Him. I want you to receive forgiveness that I'm offering you only through Him." And He deals with it. But in so doing, He's showing you great mercy because He then doesn't hold it against you. And every week He doesn't remind you, "Oh, that ugly sin of yours. You're lucky I saved you. Oh, you're lucky that I might change my mind now." He doesn't do that. He shows great mercy. I want to ask you a question. What are Christians known for in our community? What are Christians known for in your workplace? What are attributes of Christians in your circles? In some circles, Christians are known to be very unforgiving, perhaps. Sometimes. Judgmental. I think Christians should be known for great mercy. People blow it, you're able to extend mercy to people because you've received so much mercy yourself. I think Christians should be known, and people should talk about them. "He's the most forgiving person in the office. She's the most merciful person that we have here." How do you do that? How do you forgive people? How do you show mercy? You lift people up with words. You point people in the right direction. You point people to God's forgiveness first. You extend mercy to them in doing so. You don't say, "What were you thinking, you stupid idiot?" You don't rub it in. You help them to be able to rub it out. Some of you have a hard time with this. Second, because You don't really understand the difference between forgiveness and trust. You think forgiveness and trust are the same thing, and they're not. They're not the same thing. You're called to forgive. We're commanded to forgive. We must forgive people who wrong us. We're to do it immediately, right away. We forgive. But trust is something that is different. Trust is something that must be shown and proven. So, you know, if someone punches you in the nose, Jesus says, forgive that person. But then you don't have to stand right in front of them and let them punch you again. I forgive you. Smack, I forgive you. You stay away. You can stay away. Trust and forgiveness are not totally interlinked here. You are to forgive. Another thing that I think we can do in showing mercy is stop saying, look how far they have to go. I mean, their life is still not the way it should be. Their Christian walk isn't as far as it should be at this time. Look how far they have to go. Stop looking at that and start looking more at look how far they have come. How far they have come in their walk. Sometimes if you place yourself in other people's shoes, you're better able to perhaps be able to see, I might not be as far as they are if I was in their position. Show mercy to people. Show mercy to people. Mercy is a revolving door. The more mercy you give to people, guess what? You'll get it back. You'll get it back. Blessed are the merciful, Matthew 5, for they shall be shown mercy. You show mercy, you're going to be shown mercy. You want God to bless your life? Start blessing other people by showing mercy, extending that to people. Steps this week. Think of a name. A name of someone who needs your mercy. And share some words of life with them. Share some words of life with them. It's okay. God can forgive. God forgives. He wipes the slate clean. Second, have you truly received God's mercy yourself? Have you received God's mercy? He extends it. He offers it. You need it. Have you received it? Number three is this. You bless others when you express compassion. Compassion. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We need this kind of stuff, guys. We need reminded of this stuff. Clothe yourself with compassion. We're to weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. It's a good picture of what sympathy means. Sympathy is to be able to understand and affirm somebody else's feelings. Not just their experiences, but their feelings. You may be going through a bad time, and I've never been through that, so I don't have that experience, but I can sympathize with your feelings. You can sympathize with somebody else's feelings when they're going through something that you may never have gone through. You can sympathize with them, though. We all go through trials. We all go through times when we want compassion shown to us. But we got to remember, we need to show compassion to other people as well. This morning, I want you to hear from somebody who's been through a trial, been through a time, and I want you to hear in his words the blessing that some of you have been to him. And so I'll ask Robert, and I guess his daughter, when I guess you can bring your daughter up when you're ready. Robert, so would you come up here for a second? Please give Robert a warm welcome. He's a bit nervous this morning. I guess you have to use a mic.
Thank you, Pastor Ken. Good morning to everyone. I stand before you today, not out of my own special choice and desire, but out of my love and gratitude to God. I would like to share to you the wonderful things the Lord has done in my life. There are four things I want to praise God for. Firstly, when I was new in the faith, that was year 1981, during those times when I could easily slip away because of my former worldly life, God's gracious love and forgiveness kept hold of me. God enabled me to resist a strong temptation to lure me back to my old sinful way of life. Secondly, I came to realize the real truth that my wife and my children needed my time and my commitment in life, instead of other things like my business achievement and the approval of other people like my relatives and my friends. Since then, I saw to it that they become my priority, even to the point of sacrificing my opportunities to earn a better income. God favored me by blessing me with 5 wonderful children who love the Lord, and now they are serving for the Lord. God also blessed me by giving me 2 lovely Christian daughters-in-law. Thirdly, I have a godly and sacrificial wife who is endlessly serving the family out of her love for the Lord. She was always there to help me and support me during the worst moment of my life. Fourthly, God has saved me from a sudden heart attack. I have a coronary heart disease for many years. Last December, the doctor found out that I have 13 plaques in my arteries, which surprisingly did not know any signs of serious symptoms like major chest pain, angina. Not aware of my condition, I have been overworking myself too much that one more stroke could have cost me my life. If I am here in your presence right now, it's because God had granted me a second life. If you see me now praising and thanking Him, you will not be surprised, because God indeed is worthy of all praise. Finally, I would like to thank you for all the prayers, comfort, and encouragement towards me. My involvement with IBC has been a part of the life-changing transformation God has done in my life. Thank you very much, and good morning.
Thank you, Robert. God bless you. God bless you. Do we have a special? Chandra wanted to sing a special after her dad, so come on up, Chandra.
Say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. Voice is of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee, to God. the glory to God. Be the glory to God. Be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me to God. Be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live my life, let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And if I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With His blood
Robert said he wanted to sing that song himself this morning. But he said he always breaks down crying singing that one. And so his daughter does a fine job. Thank you, Chandra and team, for that. God blesses others when you express compassion. He's expressed so much compassion on us. Don't withhold it from other people. Sympathy is a powerful thing because it meets two of our basic needs. First, it meets a need every one of us have in this room, and that is a need to feel understood, that somebody else understands me. Somebody understands me. Also, it meets a need that at times we need to have our feelings validated. I can't tell you the number of times that I've talked with someone, sat with someone, counseled with them, and they're telling me how they feel about a situation in their life. And I look at them and I say, you know, that's okay. Everyone feels that way. You know, you should feel that way at that time. You have a right to feel that way. And all of a sudden a wave of relief comes over their face because they thought, you know, they're the only ones or they shouldn't be that way. We need to show compassion and sympathy. Galatians 6:2 reminds us, carry each other's burdens. And in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. And in one simple phrase, the law of Christ is to love one another. That was Jesus' law, man. Love one another. Carry each other's burdens. When it comes to sympathy, honestly, I have to admit that at times it's not so much that I may say the wrong thing, but sometimes I say nothing. Why? Because there's times I'm just too caught up in my own thing. I'm too caught up with my own life, my own problems, my own self, that I don't have time to say something to somebody, a word of compassion, a word of sympathy. And maybe you relate to me as well and say, that's me. Sometimes I also don't say things. It's not so much that I say the wrong thing, but sometimes I just don't say anything. When it comes time to show compassion as well, there's another area I want you to consider. How many of you have ever been in a time of doubt as a believer? There's been a time of doubt in your life. You've gone through a very rough patch spiritually, a rough patch in your walk with God, and your faith is hurt, your faith is shaken. How many of you have been there? You know what I'm talking about? This past week I've been speaking with somebody who's been there, and they felt they couldn't talk with a single person, because most of the Christians they know that they could speak to would simply just tell them, you shouldn't feel that way. Shame on you for feeling that way. Compassion is being able to not patronize. What's wrong with you? How could you? Instead, at times, sympathize with them. Realize that we all go through struggles. We all go through times of doubt in our lives even. And that's okay. Can you admit that? Job 6:14, Job says, a despairing man should have the devotion of his friends, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. A despairing man, someone who's in a pit of despair, and maybe he's not even thinking rationally, he should have the support of his friends. Words are powerful. Words are potent. Words can give life, they can give death. They can build up, they can destroy. Remember the Tower of Babel story in the Bible in Genesis? All the people in their pride get together to build this great monument of themselves. And God decided it's time to stop this. What did He do? He didn't take away their tools. He didn't take away their plans. What did He take away? Their ability to speak to each other. Their ability to understand each other. Words are powerful. You heard the old saying as a kid, sticks and stones, what's the rest? May break my bones, but words can never harm me. Is that true? No way. Man, give me sticks and stones any day. You know, break a couple of bones. I heal from that. But words can sometimes wound for life. The power of words is immense. Words can shatter a young child's self-image. Words can destroy the dreams of your wife, the dreams of your husband. Words can damage marriages. Sometimes husband, wife, they get in a conflict and they let the words fly. They just cut loose everything and they cut each other very deep and they don't heal. Words have such power. Words can destroy children. They can also build up. They can also be used to give life. What are you doing with your words? Show compassion. Bless others. This week, write down someone's name that you know that could use a word of compassion and a word of sympathy. Write down their names and do that this week. Give that this week. Give them a word saying, I love you. I care. I may not understand everything you're going through, but I care. I care about how you're feeling. I can sympathize with your feelings. Number four, you bless others when you speak honestly. Honestly. There's lots of ways that honesty takes place in relationships. But one of the ways is that you're able to talk about a problem in a relationship. That takes honesty. To be able to sit down with someone and say, there's a problem here. There's a problem. I care about you. I care about our relationship. That's why I need to talk about this problem. Most people don't have anybody in their life that loves them enough to say, this is way out of whack. Your life is in the wrong direction here. You need to do something about this. Sometimes people know what needs to be said, but nobody's willing to say it. It's obvious what needs to be said, but no one has the courage, the honesty to be able to say it. And sometimes in relationships, we live in total denial. You've decided that whenever you bring up something, it causes too much pain inside, so therefore you're just going to pull back and not mention that anymore. And so this area just goes unchecked, and it just continues to grow, but you live in denial. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. It's a good thing. You guys like a kiss on the lips? It's a good thing. An honest answer is like this. It's something special. A true relationship. A true marriage. There's no trust in a marriage, in a relationship without truth. Ephesians 4 says, speak the truth in a spirit of love. I'm not just telling you to go and blurt out whatever you think to anybody. It's to be done in a spirit of love. All of us have blind spots in our lives. Areas that you can't see. Some of us have bald spots. Some of us have blind spots. You know, I mean, for a long time, you know, my family and even Jennifer would say, Ken, you're getting a bit thin on top. I'd say, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I didn't want to hear that. That's my blind spot. You know, don't show me. And then every once in a while I'd see a photograph or a picture of me and I'm like, who's that guy? Who's that guy? He's got problems, man. He needs to go see a clinic, you know. And we all have blind spots, places that we can't see. Is there anybody in your life that you've given permission to say, you know, feel free, you can get in my face and point a finger at me and, you know, help me out if ever you need to? Is there anybody in your life that you've given that permission to? To say, this needs corrected. If you don't have that, I pity you. I pity you. You need that. Galatians 6 says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him. How? Gently. Why? Because don't forget number three, showing compassion. Showing compassion. Showing mercy, number two. Because you need it too. If someone's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. This is a great life group verse. It's a great life group verse. That's part of what life groups are about. Knowing each other, loving each other, and loving each other enough to be able to say, this is a problem. This is a problem. Why don't we do that more? Why don't we do what Galatians 6 says more? I'll tell you why. A lot of us think it's really none of my business. But I want to tell you, if you care, if you love, it's your business. The Bible tells us that we belong to each other. The Bible tells us that as a family of God, we belong to one another. We're going to be together for eternity. We're going to be together forever in heaven. And so you have the right. You have the responsibility, if you love, to be able to do this. You don't have to be perfect to point out something that's wrong in somebody else's life. I can't tell you how many times I've known parents who don't correct some actions that their kids are doing. You know why? Because perhaps they say, I've done that before myself. So? Does that mean that you cannot correct? Of course not. You need to correct. It's your responsibility to correct. And so, as we help our brothers and our sisters out, You don't have to be perfect yourself. You can have your own set of issues. But when you love and you're in a relationship, you've got to be able to say, I've seen a problem here. You don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be open to correction yourself. You have to be open and willing to say, if you see something in my life, have freedom to talk to me about that as well. You have to be open. In closing with this point, number four, frankness is not a license for you to go out and say anything you want to people. Do you understand that? Let me give you three simple things under this note of speaking honestly. First of all, you compliment people publicly. You correct people privately. Very good. You pour out compliments in public. You correct people in private. Number two, correct people. This is a good one. Correct people when they're up, not when they're down. Someone's gone through a hard time and maybe they've even caused it themselves. And you come along and kick them in the ribs and say, I told you shouldn't have done that. You've really blown it. Don't correct people when they're down. You give them a hand up. And when they're up, talk to them about it. You know, I'm concerned about where you've been going. This is not a good thing. And number three, of course, you must be open to correction yourself. I want to tell you something. My wife is my best friend. I love Jen. She's everything to me. I would rather spend time with Jennifer than anybody else here. Anybody else that I can think of, I'd rather be with Jennifer. She is the love of my life. But I want to tell you that it's not necessarily always been that way. Because there was a time that we said nothing is off limits in our marriage. Being able to talk about something, being able to talk about how we feel about something, being able to have one or the other say, this is a problem, let's talk about this. There was nothing off limits. There was no area we said, oh, that's just too painful, we can't bring that one up. Let's just hide it for now. Let's hide this area. And we got all these hidden compartments everywhere. And you just have a small area where you're getting by day to day. You can't talk about them. But we came to a point, I can point to it in my mind of when this point was that we said nothing is off limits. And we talked with such openness and honesty like never before. And that kind of honesty and openness in a relationship builds great intimacy. Nothing is off limits. It's not just a marriage, I believe, that you need to have this kind of openness. We need to have more openness with one another. Speak the truth in love. If someone's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore him gently. And let me tell you, that'll build greater intimacy in your relationships. This week, write down a name. Write down a name. Who will I bless this week? Who can I be a blessing to this week that I need to be able to speak honestly to? I need to be able to speak honestly to. Speak the truth in love. Number five is this. You bless others when you affirm them expectantly. Show courtesy, offer mercy, express sympathy, speak honestly, but affirm people expectantly. I've seen studies that show that when you affirm people with expectation, it brings out the best. It brings out the best. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, encourage one another and build each other up. That's a big part of what we do here. That's a big part of why we're a church, to build each other up, encourage one another. You never know when a little simple word of encouragement is going to change somebody's life, or at least somebody's day. If people walk in this place, walk in these doors, and you come and say, man, how you doing? You're looking wonderful. I've been praying about you. You give them a word of encouragement. God is really using you. It's wonderful to see what's going on in your life. Give them that word of encouragement. You're doing good as a parent. God can really use you. God's going to use you in ministry. Who are you going to bless this week? What name are you going to put down that you can bless this week? Affirmation. You know what I see in you? You know what you're good at? Do you know what I like about you? Let me give you a few ways to bring out the best in people around you, to affirm people around you. First of all, admire their uniqueness. There's nobody in this room that is like you. Praise the Lord. There's nobody in this room like you. Admire their uniqueness. I'm not just saying tolerate it. We shouldn't just be tolerating each other, but admire uniqueness. This takes some time to be able to develop, to be able to admire people's differences, and to be able to say, that's awesome. God made you that way. God made you special. Admire uniquenesses. Number two, appreciate their value. Appreciate their value. That brings out the best in people. If you ever bought a new home in this area, you know what appreciating value is. You know, your home is going to be worth more this year than it was last year. That's appreciating value. If you ever bought a car, a new car, that's called what? Depreciating in value. That means it's becoming worth less and less every year. Men, every time you appreciate your wife, you raise her value. You add value to her life. You build her up. You appreciate her in value. Parents, every time you appreciate your children, you build their value up. You build their value up. Don't be a parent that is unpleasable. Don't be a parent that always says, oh, you can do better next time. Maybe there's a time for that. There is a time to correct, of course. But there's also a time to bless and say, you did awesome. You are fantastic at this. You've done a good job. I can't believe how far you've come, how hard you tried. Add value to those you love. Number three, assign them a challenge. Sometimes it's good to give something to somebody that is so big and it stretches them to grow. And they realize later, you know, I can do this. I can do this. It's like you throw them into the water and you tell them now it's time to swim. It's time to swim. Give them a challenge to do. Number four, you affirm their ability though. Affirm their ability. Encourage them in that you can do this. You can do this. You can do good at this. I know you can. So here's the question. Who will I bless with affirmation this week? Who will I bless? Go up to somebody that you know. Somebody here at the church or somebody at the office and say, you know what you're good at? You know what you're good at? Affirm people expectantly. One of the best places to do this is in a place that we call life groups. That's in our small groups where we get together for many reasons, but one of them is to affirm each other, I think. Begin to do that in these groups. Speak words of life in these groups, not words of death. Our tongue has the power of death and it has the power of life. How are you going to use yours this week? You know what the interesting thing is about all five of these? These ways that you can bless other people are ways that God blesses you already. God treats you with dignity, with courtesy. He offers you mercy. He expresses sympathy to you in your times of distress, in your times of hurt. He is honest about your faults. And He affirms you expectantly as well. God loves you. And because He loves us, we're to love each other. We're to love each other. Please stand together with me. God blesses us not to sit and soak, but to be a blessing out to other people. Are you doing that? This morning I want you to commit yourself to these five things that we've looked at. Commit yourself to them. Commit yourself to be a blessing to other people by simply showing courtesy, by offering mercy, expressing compassion to people, speaking honestly, and affirming others, affirming them. God does that with us. We're to do that with others. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're new. Maybe you're just examining things. I want you to know the character of God. I want you to know how much He loves you. The Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that He cares for you so much. He knows every detail about you. To even how many hairs you have on your head. That's how much He loves you. You're made in God's image. But we all know that there's this issue in our life, and that issue is called sin. It must be dealt with. Like I said earlier, God doesn't overlook any sin. He doesn't overlook it. He deals with it. And He's dealt with it through the cross of Christ. And He says to you, come and trust Me. Your sin must be dealt with. And it can be. If you come to Me in faith and you trust in Me. Do you need to come to Him today? I believe some of you have been coming to this church and you've been hearing each week. And God has been speaking to you. He's been speaking to your heart. And you've been putting Him off a little bit each time. And I want to tell you, there may come a time when you don't hear that voice of God speaking. If you keep rejecting, saying, no, not today, not today, not today, there may come a time when you don't hear that anymore. And that would be disastrous. What decisions do you have to make in your life? Whether it be a commitment to blessing others, like we've been talking about, or a commitment to Jesus Christ, deal with it this morning. Let's pray. Father, I pray that this message of blessing others. We're blessed by You to be a blessing. I pray, Lord, it would sink into our hearts, into our minds, and it would change the way we treat each other, even here at the church, treat others outside. Father, may we indeed be a blessing to people through our words, through our mouths, through what we say. Help us to speak words of life, words of love, words of blessing, and not words of death. Words can kill. Words can destroy. I pray, Lord, for any in here who need to trust You. I thank You, Lord, for those lives that You have saved and transformed here. But, Lord, I believe there are some that still haven't taken a step of faith. To come and say, God, I've sinned. I know You don't overlook sin. I want to deal with it. And that they'll deal with it through the cross of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. As the singers sing,